There's a picture perfect nature to this big revolving earth. It's been here since inception, or long before your birth. It keeps on winding and soaring as it wraps around your mind. It'll give you X-ray vision, promise to leave you blind. And there's such a different atmosphere than all them globes in space, with all these carbon life forms we call the human race. But don't you let some scientist or drop a phone in line, cause he'll put you in the traction and just tear apart your spine. Oh, what a devil on broken bell. What a folly I confess. What a joyful fun house ride to be alive. What a be alive. And gravity is a mysterious force that leaves you stuck upon the soil, suppressing all your instincts. Spread your wings and boil, oh, far above this molten turf we humans all call land. Like an amber extra gypsy with 10 fingers on each hand. There's a big old ball of heat and light shining down from above, allowing for existence on this rock that I speak of. A tad bit further or closer, or we live in eyes of flames. Like a thousand children at roll call, they've forgotten all their names. And oh, what a devil on broken men. What a folly, I confess. What a joyful fun house ride to be alive. What a be alive.
Listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Lee Ferris. The name of that song was Ever-Loving Broken Mess. Lee, how are you?
Good, man.
How you doing?
I'm well, thank you. So where are you from? What do you play?
I'm from Santa Monica, California, of all wonderful places. And I play guitar primarily. I play piano, harmonica, mandolin, anything. A lot of stuff with strings.
What don't you play?
I definitely don't play accordion too well. I play banjo, but...
Have you ever tried to learn an instrument? That'll be a nice addition to my repertoire, and then discovered that you had no talent for it?
Absolutely. Yeah. A lot of the South American instruments, you know, once you get over 8,
you don't play the
12,
bit and bow?
No, exactly. You get into that kind of stuff, I can't make it happen, but...
Well, I'm already out of questions. So why don't we go into a live song? I'm kidding. Why don't we go into a live song? The look of death on your... why don't we go into a live song, and then we'll come back and talk about the whole process and your music and everything.
Cool, man. Yeah, I'm gonna play my version of one of my favorite Bob Dylan tunes, She Belongs to Me.
Oh, that's a good start.
Yeah.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Lee Ferris.
All righty.
She got everything she needs, yeah, she's an artist, she don't look bad. She got everything she needs, she's an artist, she don't look bad. She'll take the dark out of the nighttime. She'll paint the daytime black. Yeah. You will start out standing proud to steal her anything she sees. Or you start out standing proud of steel or anything she sees, yeah. But you wind up peeking through a keyhole, through a keyhole down upon your knees, yes, yes, yes. Ooh, she never stumbles, she's got no place to fall. Oh, she never stumbles, she's got no place to fall. Oh, she's nobody's child. Nobody's child, the law can't touch her at all. And she wears an Egyptian ring that sparkles before she speaks. Oh, oh, she wears a red ring, and it sparkles before she speaks. Oh, oh, you're a hypnotist collector, baby. Yes, yes, you are a walking antique. And bow down to her, and bow down to her, and bow down to her on Sunday. Salute her, salute her when her birthday comes. Yeah. Ooh, bow down to her on Sunday. Salute her, salute her, salute her, salute her, salute her when her birthday comes. For Halloween, I give her a trumpet. For Christmas, buy her a drum. Yeah, she got everything she needs. If she's an artist, she don't look back. She got everything she needs. She's an artist. She don't look bad. Oh, she'll take the dark out of the nighttime. She'll paint the daytime black. She'll take the dark out of the nighttime. Paint the daytime black.
Lee Ferris on Is Good on killradio.org. So Lee, before we started today, we were talking about, you and I were just casually talking about how people think you might be from places other than Santa Monica. Why do you think that is?
Well,
what, do you
know,
think it's something just specific to your sound?
Well, I guess so. I mean, it's really, I guess you could call it blues-driven stuff, just because I listened to a lot of blues growing up. And a lot of just, I mean, I guess, you know, soul-based music. I mean, that's kind of what, it doesn't matter what kind of instrument you play, or if it's just you, or you got a whole bunch of people on stage. If you're coming from a certain place, I think in this country we associate it with the South, New Orleans, jazz, the history of jazz, and where that comes from, and all that stuff. And I listened to a lot of that stuff growing up, and I was lucky enough to have parents on the west side of, you know, Los Angeles. It's super nice area, you know, next to the beach and everything, who were like, hey, check these guys out. You know, my dad was always hipping me to Bob Dylan and to Tom Waits, and great songwriting, as well as Coltrane and Louis Armstrong and Miles and all that kind of stuff.
What do you think initially appealed to you, like even as a kid, when you first heard that stuff?
Oh, man. There's just so much energy coming out of that music. There's just, whether it's the most like subtle trumpet line or something, if you're going to take Miles Davis as an example, there's an intensity there that's just kind of hit me right smack between the eyes kind of thing. Just always. I was just way down with that kind of stuff. And because of that intensity and that energy that's just always there, there's something real kind of street and non-BS about it, you know? So it's cool.
And did you know early on that you were going to go into music, that you were going to try to emulate some of these guys?
Not really. I always sang. I was going to be a baseball pitcher.
Really?
That was originally what I think I was going to do, and I made it, you know, in high school on all the teams. I thought that's what I was going to do for a long time. And then I just, you know, it's funny because I did a lot of singing. I got into choirs and stuff and went that route and went to college and sung opera and stuff. But I eventually just had to drop it because it was great training. It was really good to learn how to do all that stuff. But it kind of organically turned into this thing where I needed to pursue and emulate, like you say, kind of the stuff that I was really down with. So,
what was the problem with doing opera? Was it just that you felt like you weren't really expressing yourself?
Yeah. I mean, it's ultimately I was writing songs all the time too, and I was playing in kind of like a blues funk band around town here. I was going to Cal State Northridge at the time, and so I was just really into the stuff that I was doing at night later on, and playing guitar a lot, and playing electric guitar and learning what that was like for me and how much more fun that was than being up there on stage, which is really fun. Ultimately, I like to perform, so that's cool, but I learned a lot from it, mostly.
Was the guitar the first instrument that you played?
I played piano first, yeah.
Why is that? It seems like most guitar players that I meet started by playing piano.
It's probably because their parents had one in their house, or you know, their friend down the street had a piano or something.
I wonder if, like, is there something about the instrument or whatever, you know, that leads people towards guitar.
I don't know. It's interesting because I think the whole trip is that, like, if you look at the amount of guitars in the country, it's something like breaks down to the average is like 2 or 3 per household. You know, if you don't have one, your buddy's got 4, so
right.
It makes up for you. So it's interesting that I know a lot of people who started with piano, and there was a tradition for a long time, I think, just to have one in your house. It's like a small upright or something, and it was always around, and the guitar ends up sticking because you can't move a piano around. You get, you know, guitar,
right.
You can go wherever you want.
So. I guess, yeah, being portable is a huge help.
Yeah.
You brought in a CD of a couple of sample tracks to play. These songs are from a full-length?
Full-length record, Introducing Lee Ferris, I've called it. Coming out November 16th. I have a CD release show at the Mint at 8 p.m., which is it's a Thursday. If you guys don't know the Mint, it's like Crescent Heights and Pico in Los Angeles.
Popular place.
It's very cool. It's a very cool club. And, I'm really excited about it. I've been working on it for a while, and it sounds great. I mean, I'm proud of it. So,
How long have you been working on it?
Well, I mean, if the actual production and everything, only like 5 or 6 months, but kind of the songs and the writing of it has been a few years, I mean, at least. there's 2 or 3 tunes on there that I wrote maybe 6 or 7 years ago, but I just haven't got to the point of realizing a full record. You know?
No, I'm assuming that most of your experience is from gigging out live all over town.
Yeah.
And this is your first album?
Yeah.
So what was it like going to the studio and recording something and trying to get down that perfect track? Was that kind of a new experience for you?
It was new. I was lucky enough to some friends of mine who have a really cool home studio and do a lot of production out of their house over in Van Nuys hooked me up, and they basically saw a live show that I played at Genghis Cohen over in Hollywood, and they said, why don't we try and kind of emulate as much as we can the vibe of your live show? And I mean, we literally did 12 tunes in one day straight with me just playing guitar and singing, and then built anything on top of it, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Because the guys who played on it are just fantastic, and they were able to come in, listen to me playing, and just make it happen. And so it's got a real loose kind of not so precious vibe to it, which I'm actually really happy ended up being the overall gist, because because I know tons of people who just want to get it perfect, which I totally admire, and I see that for the future for me, but it ends up taking them 4 years to get right. the thing done.
So you don't have a regular band, the Lee Ferris band that follows you around?
Well, I do. I mean, the 16th at the Mint, November 16th, I'll be there with full band. Half of my record has got me and a guitar kind of stuff, and the other half's full band, so I'm going to do kind of a half and half set. But I do. I mean, I just book it under my name, under Lee Ferris, and it's often got many different, you know, amalgamations of my different interests, you know, so.
Well, cool. Well, we'll have to get through all of them in the next 40 minutes or so. Why don't we play another track from the CD? It's called Low Down Dirty Dreams. You want to introduce this song in any way?
It's a tune I wrote up in when I was living up in Big Sur, California, and just kind of just about a relationship I had that didn't treat me so good. So I'm glad now it's on a record, so I don't have to worry about that anymore.
Now you got it out, and and now you only have to hear it once a week for the rest of your life
exactly.
when someone reminds you of and asks you to play it.
Exactly.
My guest is Lee Ferris. You're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org.
Salinas, I'm a begging 84. No longer tired and lonesome, but I do got these traveling blues. I'll be back in a week or so to see what happened to you, 'cause I've fallen for your scheme and all them low down dirty dreams. And I've fallen to my knees, yeah. Oh, for all them low down dirty dreams. You may say I'm a joker, babe. For me, I'm the ace of spades. I've erased all them memories of every single debt I paid. I hit the road tomorrow, my song they be singing me. I'll be back, take these shackles off and finally be free, because I've fallen for your schemes and all them low down dirty dreams. I've fallen to my knees, yeah, for all them low down dirty dreams. Oh, low down dirty dreams, all them dreams, all them low down dirty dreams. But you lady, beep, 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 falling for your skin. I've fallen so hard for your low down a dirty dream.
Mm-hmm. How do you, when people ask you, like, what kind of music you do, what are the, I mean, that's, it's a
right.
loaded question,
right?
Right,
right, but, right, 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 right.
I mean, obviously there's a heavy blues influence, but do you just say blues or do you throw out other things?
I kind of like the gypsy swing, acoustic folk, pop, blues rock thing. Throw them all in there, but I mean, yeah, I mean, it's acoustic. It's got a lot of jazz influence to it. I mean, and I think New Orleans, it's interesting you say that because it's one of the first people who's actually used that area to describe my music. I've never even been there, but I think, I mean, old swing jazz and stuff is a big influence on me. I play a lot of instrumental jazz around town too, so that's a big influence on my actual songwriting. So,
with that in mind, how does that affect the way that you write lyrics? Is there a particular style of lyricism that you tend to gravitate towards?
Well, I mean, I'm trying to be, I guess, I mean, I kind of, I've always written lyrics, try not to be so, like, overtly introspective and kind of, you know, I kind of like the idea of writing more, I guess you could say, kind of in a Kurt Vile-esque kind of, which is more like a stage kind of vibe, where mm-hmm. there's a story going on. It's almost as if, like, the guy who's singing the song, me, is speaking straight to you with more of, like, a musical theater aspect to it, so, as opposed to going, oh, man, you know, everything in my life is really bad, and I'm really sad. And, I mean, not that there's anything wrong with that. It's just that I just kind of break the fourth wall, they call it in theater, where you just talk straight to
right.
the people. And so that's why, I mean, performance for me is a big thing. I really like performing to people and things like that. So it's almost in like a monologue-esque kind of quality.
What tends to come first for you, the music or the lyrics?
Usually it comes all at once. And it kind of hashes itself out over anywhere from an hour for a full... I've got full songs in an hour before, to a couple weeks, to a couple years. But it usually... I kind of just start spitting stuff over it. I try and record it and see what I've got after the fact. Some of the stuff I've got on MySpace is just me hitting record. And then I throw it onto MySpace because I want people to hear it.
Right.
And then I've got to go back to MySpace to actually learn the tune.
And then produce it and actually
hear
it
over and over and go, oh, okay, no, yeah.
Well, cool. Are you ready to go into a live song right now?
Sure, man.
All right. What do you got for us?
I got the first tune on my upcoming record called Swimming Pool of Sin. So here it goes.
All right. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Lee Ferris.
But I'm sitting at this table, it ain't my feast. I'm feeling a whole amount of lonesome at the very least. And the people's faces, they seem to stare through mine like I had some type of writing on the backside of my spine. And I don't know where I'm going, where I've been. Feel like I traded all my glory for a swimming pool of sin. And these blue jeans I'm wearing, they're torn to hell. But don't you mind a color, darling, disregard their smell. And it looks like you could use some money, cried out a good friend. And I don't know how this story's going to turn out in the end, 'cause I don't know where I'm going, where the hell I've been. Feel like I traded all my glory for a swimming pool of sin. I'm
I'm sitting in this house and it ain't got no walls. It makes it damn easy to hear them coyotes call. And they seem to whisper to me, oh boy, you better toe the line. And I'm feeling mighty distant like some partner in some crime. Cause I don't know where I'm going, where the hell I've been. I feel like I traded all my glory for a cement pool of sin. Yeah, man, feel like I traded all my glory for a cement pool of sin. Yes, yes, indeed. Feel like I traded all my glory for a cement pool of sin.
Lee, what would you like to see more of in the music scene now? What do you think is missing? What is something maybe you hope to bring, or maybe you hope someone else brings in that you can ride along?
I think tying into my last comment just is that performance. You know, you were asking me about my lyrics, and I was talking about the performance of the lyrics. I think performance and art incorporated into the performance in the sense of like performance art and like really, really getting, at least let's just say for like the LA scene that I'm pretty familiar with these days, that I would love to see bands and acts interact with the crowd and make it less of like a passive experience. People are here to just watch kind of thing, make it more into, yeah, dancing, but more interactive stuff where you can really get, you know, talk to people and get opinions and things like that, and make the performance so much more a part of it, well, as much as the music.
Do you think it used to be like that, and then it kind of fell to the wayside? And
well, I'm sure it's all out there. I mean, every once in a while, I mean, out here, I see, you know, great bands that can do that really well.
But why do you think it's so common now to resist interacting with the audience?
Well,
it's sort of like just weird. A fear of being judged,
Yeah, I think, you know, it's interesting because you play a lot of clubs and people are drinking and stuff, and you figure you got the social lubricant happening. Why aren't they, you know, they should be moving at least. And they should be, you know, it's like the whole experience should be a back and forth kind of call and response kind of vibe, because without the audience, the performer has nothing, and vice versa. So it's like a happening, not like in the 60s sense, but I mean, we're all there to be a part of this thing. And I think the message of the music is obviously needs to be a part of that, where it's about a positive thing, hopefully, or it makes you think about something, you know, an aspect of your life that, okay, maybe needs changing, or I relate to, and I'm interested in. And just hearing what this kid has to say, because maybe we can all maybe change something together. I mean, not on like this big ideal, crazy way, but I don't know. I don't know the exact reason why that has changed. The big modern world of, you know, pre-ticket sales, and, you know, you go have your own experience. You go get high, you get drunk, and you sit in seats and you listen to people play music, but you're, you know, X amount of rows back or whatever, as
right.
opposed to, like, you can say the Woodstock generation, where it seemed, at least in what we look at now, as like one big thing.
We've been getting so many sirens today.
The sirens, they're coming to get us. Nice.
Yeah. It's going to be a great weekend. Why don't we go and why don't we play another track from this
cool.
CD, so that you get a little preview of what you can buy, introducing Lee Ferris, when it comes out on the 16th. This track is called Tea Time. My guest is Lee Ferris. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org.
Daffodil. people's skills, they confound me. Brand new bicycles and fairy fables, they surround me. Silent gentlemen toting flaming arrows, like the sleeping giant Egyptian pharaoh. Oh, it's tea time, darling, time to change your mind. Skirts sit by the mountain, and ice cream cones, colored lawns sit by the fountain. Falling baskets washing through the tide. Tea time, darling, wilted as.